Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Thursday, October 31st, 2019. I'm Chance Miller. Today's episode of 9to5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Channels. Rumors about a new 16-inch MacBook Pro have been circulating for a while now, with reports suggesting that a release will come sometime this year. Now, 9to5 Mac has discovered a new asset in the released version of macOS 10.15.1 that shows the redesigned Touch Bar and Touch ID layout of the 16-inch MacBook Pro. The current MacBook Pro models, including the 13 and 15-inch, feature one continuous cutout for the Touch Bar and Power button, as well as a software escape key on the Touch Bar instead of an actual physical escape key. Now, it looks as if the 16-inch MacBook Pro will make some changes to that layout, hopefully for the better. In the image found within macOS, you can see that the Touch ID button, which also serves as the power button, is separated from the rest of the Touch Bar. This image also confirms that the 16-inch MacBook Pro will have a real physical escape key. The lack of an escape key has been one of the biggest pain points of the Touch Bar transition for MacBook users, so it's certainly nice to see that Apple has been listening to that feedback. Some rumors had suggested that the 16-inch MacBook Pro would be completely redesigned, but based on the images we've seen in macOS, that doesn't actually appear to be the case. Instead, it looks like the 16-inch MacBook Pro will be a slightly larger version of the 15-inch MacBook Pro in terms of screen size, but the actual body will remain almost identical, just with slightly smaller bezels. There is still hope for a redesigned keyboard with more reliable scissor switch keys, but it's hard to tell much from the leaked images. It remains unknown as to when Apple will release the 16-inch MacBook Pro. It was expected to come out this month, but unless a late release happens sometime today, that clearly won't happen. Yesterday was earnings day for Apple, with the company reporting its results for the fourth fiscal quarter of 2019. For the quarter, Apple had forecast revenue between $61 billion and $64 billion, and it landed right at the high end of that guidance. For the fourth quarter of 2019, Apple reported revenue of $64 billion and profit of $13.7 billion. During the same quarter last year, Apple had revenue of $62.9 billion and profit of $14 billion. So revenue was up year over year, but profit was down slightly. In terms of revenue by product, the iPhone is still far and away number one at $33 billion. That's down 9% year over year, but it's an improvement compared to the 15% drop Apple reported during the first three quarters of 2019. Apple's services business continues to hit new highs, with the company reporting revenue of $12.5 billion. That includes things like AppleCare, the App Store, and Apple Music, but Apple Arcade and Apple TV Plus are not reflected in the fourth quarter results. The wearables, home, and accessories category, which includes Apple Watch, AirPods, Beats, and more, generated $6.5 billion. And last but not least, the iPad and Mac both declined year over year. The iPad earned $4.6 billion in revenue, while the Mac came in at just under $7 billion. Investors seem to be pleased with Apple's earnings results and the strong guidance it has provided for the holiday quarter, with Apple stock up over 2% in trading today. As usual, Apple's earnings call with investors and analysts provided a few interesting tidbits of information, and we'll have more on that after the break. Today's episode of 9to5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Channels. Channels integrates with your HD Home Run networked TV tuner to allow you to watch live TV on your iPhone, iPad, Mac, Apple TV, and more. Once your tuner is connected to the internet, you can watch live TV using the Channels app that's free on iOS and just $25 on Apple TV. The Channels Plus subscription adds DVR, the TV Everywhere feature, automatic commercial skipping, and the ability to watch while away from home for just $8 a month or $80 per year. The TV Everywhere feature is especially useful and gives you the ability to watch and record premium channels by signing in with your cable or streaming provider. To learn more and to get your first month of Channels Plus for free, head to getchannels.com/9to5Mac. My thanks to Channels for supporting 9to5 Mac Daily and making it easy for me to watch TV from anywhere. On Apple's earnings call, Tim Cook announced that Apple Card will soon be adding a new feature for iPhone financing. Starting later this year, Apple Card users will be able to finance new iPhone purchases with 0% interest over 24 months. This is similar to other financing options available for iPhone purchases, such as the iPhone Upgrade Program. The key difference is that you can choose to make payments on your own schedule, and so long as the full cost of the phone is paid off within 2 years, you pay no interest. You also get 3% cash back on the total cost of your iPhone purchase, effectively giving you a 3% discount. All of your payments and other details are managed directly in the Wallet app on your iPhone, whereas the iPhone Upgrade Program relies on the Citizens One Bank. Of course, the iPhone Upgrade Program provides other benefits, such as AppleCare Plus and the ability to trade in and upgrade to a new iPhone every year. But for users who don't need those benefits, the new Apple Card financing option will likely prove to be a popular choice. Apple's earnings day also offered our first glimpse at iPhone 11 demand. Tim Cook said that iPhone 11 sales are off to a very, very good start for one big reason: the lower starting price of the iPhone 11. The iPhone 11 starts at $699 compared to the iPhone XR, which started at $749. This has proven to be particularly popular in China, according to Cook. The Apple CEO explained that Apple targeted a price that had been successful in China in the past. As you'll remember, Apple has struggled in China due in large part to its higher iPhone prices, but it appears the iPhone 11 is shifting that luck. Tim Cook also said that Apple's guidance for Q1 2020 is based on the strong indications from iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro sales, as well as continued growth in wearables and services. He also said that he's hopeful the United States and China will resolve their trade dispute during the quarter, which would help Apple in the fiscal first quarter, as it is paying tariffs on certain products, and it could pay more tariffs starting in December. But something important to remember is that only the first 2 weeks of iPhone 11 availability are included in Apple's fiscal Q4 2019. The true effects of the iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro will materialize in Q1 2020, which is also Apple's holiday quarter. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. Read all of the stories mentioned today on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.